This club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? Just when you thought the top four race was over, Cristiano Ronaldo had his say. Sir, he doesn't care how many bunch of bums are next to him walking around. Ronaldo grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck against bottom of the table Norwich, sir. They didn't look like it against mighty Manchester United, but United with a big 3 points at home in front of a frustrated Old Trafford crowd, 3-2 against the Canaries, sir. How we feeling? How we doing? CR7. Where would we be without Ronaldo?
And where would we be without David De Gea bailing us out once again, our backline in shambles? But we thought we saw the last Ronaldo hat trick at Old Trafford. We hadn't. What a free kick from him. He was due. He's been hitting those into the wall all year. And finally, Timmy Krul.
Pick it out.
Probably should have saved it. But look, we need it. Whatever we can get at this point. Whether it's just good vibes all around, seeing Ronaldo get a hattie and getting a win at home. We need it. We need the good juju. Top four, people saying we're back in it. 538.com says 4% chance. We are on the outside looking in, but you know what? You hear that, sir? That's the bottle factory. It is getting up and running. Both Tottenham and Arsenal dropping points today. If this continues, we keep our head down. Who knows what top four will look like at the end of the season? We got to keep doing our thing. And oh, by the way, Scouse Bastards next. Can this team make up for that embarrassing game that you saw in person? Was it 5-0?
5-0. It can't be worse. It can be worse. It can always be worse. That Liverpool side never even got a second gear. I don't think United even got out of the dressing room in that match in October against the Scouse Bastards, sir. But this game, are we back? Is it top four race? Sir, it shouldn't even be a top four race based on how many points this side has dropped, how many winnable points in where we were in the lead, where we let, you know, either the 3 points go and turn into one or one into none. But like you said, Butler's got a bottle and Arsenal putting out a clinic, sir, and out a bottle. They were talking up Arteta like he was the next Pep, bro, like a month ago. And he just lost four of the last five. I know United aren't doing that well, but, sir, it's always worth a laugh to see the Gunners just melt down. If any team is going to best us, it's going to be Spurs. You know, they're actually playing some decent football, even though they did lose today, I believe. I don't want to get my hopes up. I know we're going to lose on Tuesday. We're going to lose against the Scousers. It's inevitability. It's about kind of managing the loss and not taking too much of a hit on our goal differential, which might actually matter. But you know what? I enjoyed today. I was feeling pretty down, sir, when we let up that second goal. Like, oh my goodness, those goals we gave up. But Ronaldo, like you said, he was due for a free kick. I did not think he was scoring from that free kick. I was like, this is going right into the wall. And Krul was not touching that. Old man Krul, bro, it pinged off the wall and in. But hey, what a goal. What a game. What a win.
Yeah, look, as a United fan today, I'm happy. You know, you win 3-2. Ronaldo does it at legend of the club. Like, you know, you got to just say, hey, horrible season, but a bright spot, another hattie. Ronaldo coming to the rescue again. Ronaldo FC, like you said, the midfield was rough today. The defending was rough today, but we got to see Ronaldo put three past Timmy Krul, and that is a good day. As far as top four, day by day, I've gone through the fixtures. It should be dusted, no matter how you look at it. Short of us, like, the real problem I have with Manchester United at the moment is I'm not going to kid ourselves. Like, I'm happy about this game today, watching it with the family, but we're bad.
Yeah, oh, we're shit.
We're bad. We like, you know, it's Norwich.
Norwich.
It's Norwich. They're last in the league.
We're going
down. Struggled to beat them. We're wide open. We make them look like a world-class attack. And oh, by the way, we're going to be playing a world-class attack. The rotation that Klopp does on Tuesday might be very interesting. as far as who he is gonna play off of that FA Cup win against Man City. So temper expectations. I'm not gonna get my hopes up. I'm just gonna watch and hope Arsenal and Tottenham bottle it, and then maybe we can string some sort of form together. But it doesn't look like it, really. I mean, the injuries we have to, you know, our lackluster midfield and how we're playing at the moment. When you see Jesse Lingard on the starting 11, you're just like, uh-oh. This is leave on a free FC here.
It's like four players that are featured that are leaving on a free this summer featured today, two as starters, two as subs. But you're right. I don't know if Jesse – I don't even remember Jesse Lingard touching the ball in that game. But like you said, it's 3 points. I'm not going to get ahead of ourselves because I don't expect us to finish the top four. This team is a bunch of pretenders, even in this game, dude. The goals we gave up were embarrassing. Embarrassing goals. Like, ridiculous.
Dude, Telus, your boy Telus had a bad game.
Our fullbacks are garbage. I know Telus got, like, exposed, and, like, Rangnick did him a favor by yoinking him in the second half. But Telus is not good enough. What's his name? Delo ain't good enough. AWB ain't good enough. And Lucha ain't good enough. So right there, you got four players you got to buy. You probably need two new starters, two backups. Center backs looked out of sorts. I mean, Lindelof played okay. Maguire, I don't even know. Like, I guess they switched sides. But that being said, Ronaldo still got gas in the tank. 3 points is 3 points. I'm worried about Anfield on Tuesday. But hey, you never know. You never know. Do you believe in miracles? Why not?
Yeah, so, you know, given you flew all the way across the pond to Old Trafford and you saw the Scouts Bastards, who we hate, drop five on Manchester United, how do you feel about this game coming up on Tuesday? This is a big game.
Dude, it's a huge game. They're also in a title race now. So back then, they weren't even quite – they were, like, quite off the sniff because City had kind of taken such a fast start to the season. And they weren't even playing that well, bro. Now they're playing, like as good as they play under Klopp. Like, they are playing top draw football. They're looking like a team that, unfortunately, you know, could win some silverware this season. So they're going to come and try and, like, beat the fucking shit out of us because they're going to play at home and goal differential might matter. And they're like I said, they're in a title race. They just drew with City, who are also the other team in the title race. So they're going to want to win big, and they're going to want to play us off the park. And the players that we have, you know, you could argue, like, hey, a work rate McTominay, maybe keep us in it. But, like, dude, like, you think Matic and Paul Pogba are going to be able to keep up with that midfield and that front three and Harry Maguire playing out of sorts and Rafael Varane, like, ha, 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 what a signing he was. He'll play half a game, like, 20 games a season. But Tuesday's going to be rough. I'm looking forward to the rebuild coming because the one thing that's...
This could be the catalyst, man.
This could be the catalyst. Could be
one. You know, I'm gonna give you the half pull. Like,
do it.
This team can somehow, it doesn't need to be pretty, but if we can scrape a result, a point against the Scouts Bastards, that could give us some confidence. You know, a lot of players were out on that pitch on that embarrassing performance, and you have to think the intangible would be they have to be thinking we have to right that wrong, because that was the most embarrassing game I can ever remember as a Manchester United fan. That includes when Spurs beat us 6-1. There was a kind of like a bad red card in that game. So with the Scouse Bastards, you know, I hope this United team back against the wall can fight for something and we don't get embarrassed. I would like to see us kick on from there. If we're going to make top four, it starts with that and then beating Arsenal. Then you have some confidence and you can swat away Brentford and Brighton before you have to play the Chelsea scum. So, you know, if a run for top four starts, it should start against Liverpool. You'll know in the first 15 minutes how that game's going to go.
If we can stay in at 15, I mean, it's going to be about, like, working our asses off against a team that's really, really good. I hate the Scousers. You know it. We know it. We all know it. But, like, they're a good team. They're better coached. They're, you know, better run. And they have a better squad at the moment than we do. So it's going to be really tough for us to stay in that game. But like you said, if we can get a point out of that, not only dent their title hopes, but also just, like, pick up a point, which is good against a team who's one of the best in the league, one of the best in the world, dude, that would give this team some confidence. I'm not hopeful, sir. I'm not hopeful. I think we're going to get the shit kicked out of us, to be frank. Because I saw I was sitting in our seats, lovely seats, Stretford End. Shout out to all the Red Devils out there. Dude, it was brutal, bro. And like I said, they were coasting. And now obviously that was Ole dead duck, like, you know, they should have, that was, should have been the last game for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And then, you know, our awful front office waited 5 weeks to bring in an interim. But that being said, that should have been it. That should have been the low. It got worse, right? We had that City loss that was like as bad. We know who the next manager is going to be. It's going to be Erik ten Hag. It's basically been all but confirmed. Even he said, like, he basically was like, I'm not talking about it because I got cups to win. So we know, like, they should have something to play for. Some of these players should want to impress the next manager, but it's difficult because you have some players that are just gone, bro. Like, Paul Pogba's gone, so he doesn't give a shit. Lingard don't care. So it's like, you have a position where you have injuries. You're going to almost have to rely on players that are leaving anyway. It's going to be a tough choice for Rangnick, right? Because Mata came in. He's leaving. He looked pretty good today. You know, he did all right.
Did you quit your job at the Excuse Factory? Because you're going hard today in the paint, Alex.
Well, you know, you make excuses. I'm gonna subtract. Sorry, I was mad. We gave up those two goals. First of all, you gave that goal to end the first half. Played pretty well. Sir, we should get into it, but like, Jesus, this team.
You should know better. This guy texted me. When you texted me, it was like 2-2. You're like, I hate this team. I was like, Alex, like, it's been a long season. I'm kind of in the not caring camp. I've already seen it. Like, Ten Hag, let's get it. Let's rebuild 2.0.
You haven't flown to England during a pandemic, bro, and watched your team get the shit kicked out of them. So, hey, I'm hoping the Chelsea game turns out differently for us.
All right. If you like the American Red Devils, we got a quick PSA for the podcast. You want to meet other Muppets talking about Manchester United. Great community we have. Join our Discord channel. You can get an invite. It is pinned on our Twitter page. It's absolutely awesome. Join the chat. Also, if you want to support us, we don't have any commercial sponsors on this podcast. Alex and I just do it ourselves. We want to be fan supported so we can stay true to our style, true to the fans. American Devils is all about the for fans, by fans motto, and we mean it. We're not pitching you anything you hear on other podcasts. Check out our Patreon page. The best way to support us, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. We do a behind-the-scenes episode every single month, so you get access to that with your Patreon membership. There's also other benefits. Also, check out our website, www.AmericaRedDevils.com. Our blog is on fire. Alex, editor-in-chief. Check out all the amazing fan content we have there. It's all about getting the fan perspective on Manchester United out there. Also, check out our store on our website. We have some great merchandise, scarves, stickers, pins, you name it. Everything you buy goes to support the podcast. Alex, tell them about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews. Oh, they're the best way to support the pod if you don't want to spend your hard-earned cash. And you don't have to do them just on iTunes. Write a 5-star review wherever you listen to the American Red Devils podcast, whether it be iTunes or Spotify or the like. And even better, we're doing a extra special giveaway, sir. The reviews have slowed, so we're throwing something else in the coffer. We're giving away free American Red Devils posters, prints, designed by the one and only Sir Stan Chow. All you have to do, write a 5-star review wherever you listen to this great pod and send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will personally pick, pack, and ship one of our great prints straight to your door. Great way to support the pod. Goes a long way to helping us get found organically, sir. And like you said, this is just a pod run by Muppets, for Muppets, by Muppets. Join us. There's plenty of room.
Yeah, we're not trying to outsmart anyone. We're just giving you that biased fan take from the couch. And apologies for all the remote pods we've had lately. Unfortunately, my son has come down with hand, foot, and mouth disease, which my wife got and then my infant got. And then we're trying to keep Alex and his family away from it. So between the baby and everything else I got going on here, we're just trying to keep the pod kicking. And I will be back in the bunker soon. It's tough watching the matches without you, Alex. You're having you side by side, seeing your expression when Norwich scores a second goal. You know, I really miss that.
So you missed like the sunglasses down, slouch on the couch. That face is like the same for Villarreal. Shout out to Villarreal. I don't feel as bad losing to them in that final. They fucking bested Bayern Munich and are going to what? The semifinals, right? The semifinals of the Champions League. So shout out to Unai Emery. Count Chocula.
Yeah, there you go. Let's get into this match. Manchester United 3, Norwich 2, at Old Trafford. Alex, take me through that lineup.
Sir, who else in net? Dave saves. We're back four. Help us now. Delo, Maguire, Lindelof, Telles. We got a midfield of Fernandez, Pogba, and Lingard. Lingard, what you doing? And then a front three of Alonso on the left, Ronaldo up front, Sancho on the right. They switched all over the place. Fernandez and Fernandez and Pogba played kind of like a midfield two with Lingard. I didn't really see him, but what did you make of this 11 when you saw it, my man?
How are you not playing Modric? You know, the mystery of Ralph Rangnick deepens for me here with this lineup. You're going to play. We've struggled against, relegation bound squads. We've made horrible teams look great on attack and the counter. We're so exposed. Pog was not good track back. Neither is Lingard. Obviously, Telles and Delo aren't like nailed on as far as their defensive responsibilities. And who's behind them? We have McGuire. So I just thought we were going to be caught with our pants down. It didn't take long to see that. I would like to have seen maybe Matic Pogba with Bruno. You maybe drop Bruno, you put Lingard in, save Bruno for Liverpool. I just kind of felt this is kind of like a whatever.
Whatever. This is Eric's problem. Yeah, that's probably what Rangnick's thinking. He's like, I'm going to get the hell out of here. This is Eric Ten Hag's problem. You would think that, like, dude, this is the worst team in the league. Like, by definition, they have the lowest points at the bottom of the table. You shouldn't need a CDM. Most of this game you didn't, but it's like the way we were exposed for that goal in the 45th minute. And then their second goal. Like, I've never seen defending like that. Like,
also, Baye and Jones on the bench. It's like McGuire and Lindelof aren't playing that great. It's just like you got to be getting some rotation in there against Norwich. It's like a lot of favoritism in here from Ralph Rangnick. I thought we would see a lot more rotation, looking for players to do the job, you know, sprinkling in maybe some youth there. Obviously, you have Alonga, but this lineup left a lot to be desired, and, you know, we saw it coming out. United struggled early, then all of a sudden turned on the attack for a little bit. Pukki did get a chance early, but De Gea came out very well. I mean, there it was right there. Swiss cheese, midfield open, back four exposed. Pukki had a great chance early. But then, obviously, CR7.
Who else, sir? He had a busy day, and it started in the seventh minute. Tried to play out the back. This is what Ralph was looking for. High press side. Good job from Anthony Alonga. Sweeps it over to Ronaldo, who ain't missing that, sir. That's what I'm talking about. A little bit of luck. Get the goal. Let's go. And United, when they got this goal, I mean, for a little bit, they played some decent football.
Like they were like very limited. Because it was like we had like 5 minutes after the goal. And a lot of just poor decision-making. Alonga, I think, had a good feed into Sancho, couldn't get it on goal. But then after that, we kind of slowed down, and the pace of the game slowed down. Talk about the Rangnick high-intensity heavy metal football. We just, like, kind of really chilled out here. And something from nothing, 32nd minute.
Sir, I thought United doesn't score from corners. In the 32nd minute, change that.
Cruel and Norwich have a corner to contend with from Tenez. No! And guess who met it? It just had to be, didn't it? Cristiano Ronaldo with a brilliant header.
Very simple goal, just delivered it in. Go and attack the ball. Norwich don't do enough. Don't defend it well enough.
Sir, great ball in from Telles. He had a howler of a day. Terrible day. Like one of the worst defending performances I've seen from a United defender in a long time. But that's a great ball in and an even better headed finish from the ageless Cristiano Ronaldo. What a player he is. All day, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, but from nothing, like, again, like, I'm going to say, like, great two-goal lead. I thought seventh minute was we had intensity in periods, and then all of a sudden we sit off, we get a goal from a corner, and then now it's like you got to be switched on. You have to be focused to get to – what's going to happen if you're playing against the Scouse Bastards in this situation? Like, you're so lazy, you're going to let Norwich score a goal right before half. How many times have we done that this season? We've had two managers. You look at the bench, how much staff we got. These players, man, it's like they absolutely shut off. They don't even care. It's unbelievable. It's like anyone knows that that's the worst goal to give up 2-goal lead and you concede, it's like literally you have to do the job. You have to be switched on. You have to get in halftime without conceding.
Right before half.
45th minute.
And what a goal it was.
Yiannoulis. And now Pukki. And Norwich have won back for Kieran.
Sorry, it's schoolboy. I don't think you'll see worse defending by this team. We played so shit this season, and we've given up so many shit goals, and this is probably the worst goal yet. It's like you got Maguire in no man's land, Delo doing nothing, just like swinging a miss. He did it like 7 times today, and then Telus getting drawn out, and there's literally like 2 guys wide open back post. So that is, you wouldn't even be able to stay up in League One if you defended like this. It's beyond the pale, bro. I've never seen anything
like
this.
It's not football.
It's embarrassing. It's like ridiculous. Ridiculous goal to give up. Embarrassing.
If I was the manager, I'd probably be like, have to be restrained from throwing everything that was available to me at the locker room, at the players. Like, this is just one of those things where, you know, I'd just be so upset. This team and... Like you said,
What'd I say?
It's like second. Like, let's get in a second, and then you gotta like, okay, wow, we got turned up. Oh wow, that was a poor mistake, but you know what? Put it behind us. Let's go out. Let's score another goal. Let's finish it. Wah wah. 52nd minute.
They call him Pukki.
And Pukki, and the flag stays down. It's Teemu Pukki. It's 2-2. An astonishing comeback from Norwich.
Sir, when I saw this, I was so pissed. And I'm trying not to like get my hopes up, but like we had some goals.
It was horrible. It was bad.
Arsenal dropped points. Spurs dropped. Like, we shouldn't even be in the top 4 race, sir. We should be playing for Europa Conference League at this point. And we're somehow in it because the teams around us shut the bed. But this goal, bud, dude, it's like we don't even look like a professional football team. And Telus, I've always rooted for Telus. He might still be a decent squad player, but like he just had a howler today. I've never seen anything like it, sir. Like, but also, like, what the hell was going on? Why were Maguire and Lindelof switched? Like, Maguire always plays on the left, and then Lindelof was playing on the left. It was kind of odd, but you know what? We were all out of sorts.
Yeah, and Lindelof keeps him on and then tries to play the pass and, you know, keeps him on and then misses the pass, and then Pukki's in yards of space. Great finish from him.
Seriously.
I mean, that's a finish right there. Like, you have to say. I mean,
he's a player. He's a player.
He's a poor man's Michu all day. That's what I got to say.
That's a shout out to Michu.
Yeah, anyone who played fantasy EPL knows Michu wasn't one to be messed with. 62nd
Swansea
minute.
Legend.
Ronaldo with a decent effort from a corner, but it's right at Cruel. And then we get the subs. Matic on for Lingard. I think this was a good move. And obviously, Mata came on, I believe, with Matic as well. Mata, shout out to Mata. Coming on the pitch, he actually, like, showed... He was, like, putting in solid effort, hustling around the pitch. And he was kind of calming things down. I kind of felt like with Matic and Mata coming on, definitely calmed it down. The veterans did their job here. The problem for me was... You know, we need that all season. I just don't think that mix between having veterans mixed with younger players to kind of have that sort of calm attitude out there, given our captain is a... Given our captain's a liability, you know, because Juan Mata came out and he was like running the show for a little bit. It was good to see. It's good to see, given he's probably heading out at the end of the year. United almost conceded in the 69th, and then boom, huge save from De Gea. I can't believe he got to this one, 70th minute. You know, obviously, Norwich coming for the win at Old Trafford. They're last in the league, and they're coming for the win. And that's why, you know, a lot of fans were upset. I tweeted it before it happened. I said, I've seen this movie before. Ronaldo Hattie for the win. Give it to me, 76th minute. This is going in all day for me.
Let's go, baby. CR7. How we doing? How we doing?
What will happen next? It is Cristiano Ronaldo!
I think Tim Krul would be hugely disappointed with his effort to save this. He gets two hands on it. It's goalkeeper side.
and it still seems to just slip through the fingers. Norwich after fighting.
I'll take it, sir. I'll take it. Tim Krul, how you doing? How you doing? But hey, yeah, he probably should have saved it, but I'll take it, sir. We needed to go like that. I did miss the double sub, like you mentioned. Mata and Rashford coming on. But
oh, that's
Ronaldo.
Right. Yeah, sorry.
No, it was my mistake. The Ronaldo agelessness. What a goal. I mean, hey, like you said, a little bit of luck, but you know what? We're going to need a little bit of luck if we're going to turn this season around, finish in the top four, and you know, hopefully give Erik ten Hag a little more gunpowder to play with in the summer in terms of rebuilding the squad, but I doubt it.
82nd minute, Bruno goes wide, and that was it. But like you talked about Rashford coming on, he looked horrid.
Horrid.
Like, just like his decision making is like he should literally pass. He's doing step overs unnecessarily in the box, loses the ball.
Doesn't track back.
Bruno also turned the ball over a lot today. Bruno, since he signed his deal, and like not looking great at all. Not like saying it was a bad decision. I'm just saying, like, you know, you hope that give him a little boost. Player signs a long term deal. You think you're going to get a little more out of him. He looks droppable. Honestly, that's what I was thinking. Both Ole and Rangnick, I don't think, drop players enough. And it's like one of those things where Bruno Fernandes is a good player, but occasionally good players need to be rested. Like, Maguire is a great example of that. Like, Maguire's he's been horrid this year. There's probably a player there, you know, probably a soft serve, like arm around the shoulder, like, whatever it is in modern day football, you want to say there's probably a player there, but he needs like Gareth Southgate giving him the treatment 24/7 in order for him to play well, you know. But he needs to be dropped. Like, a buy Lindelof today, just put Lingard in like for Bruno, and then put Matic in the midfield today is probably a better move. Freshen the squad, get players rest. There's a big game that gives you cover as a manager to sit them and be like, hey, I want you dialed in. We're going for a result against the Scouse bastards. You know, that type of mentality, Ole and Rangnick lacked. And I we're seeing it. We're just like playing these players out of form all the time. And it doesn't help them. You know, there is a little bit of man management that could be done. Obviously, these players have let us down. Like the Lingard Pogba leave on a free midfield combo. Like, if Pogba was leaving on a free, like, he ain't playing on my team. I'm playing.
That's why I keep, you know, dude, because he didn't play that well. Like, I agree with you. Bruno faded big time in this game, started giving the ball away. But, like, Ronaldo was great. Pogba was, like, bang on average, and Lingard was non-existent. No one's going to probably take away the award for Dallas, but even Rashford came on. So, talk about a player that needed a drop, has gotten the drop, right? He is starting behind Anthony Elanga, the youngster, because he's been so poor, came on. He looks awful. Awful. Like, he looks like
No, but he's but again, like, I'm going to say, you know, don't be surprised when Paul Pogba goes to, you know, a different team and plays well. So, like, there's players there. I'm not saying that they're all bad. I'm just saying that there is a better way. Some manager, Erik ten Hag, can probably get better results out of hopefully this group of players or some combination of them. It's just going to. You know, I don't think Rashford's a bad player. I think he literally, if you probably saw the behind the scenes of what's going on with Rashford, there's a lot of stuff, I bet you.
Of course.
You know, and like for me, like, the fan freak out, and he just can't sort it. It's like, have a summer, clear your head, get fit, come back. Like, literally full reset for Rashford. Maguire is probably a sell. Cut your losses.
Right.
Like, that's my gut. You know.
There's going to be so many players you need to sell. There's going to be so many players anyway that, like, he wouldn't be the first on the list. I like to think we haven't really had a real manager. You know, shout out to Ole. He did a lot, but he wasn't, like, necessarily, like, a top-class manager the same way even Van Gaal or Mourinho were. So, like, we haven't really had a manager since...
What did Ole do?
Since Jose. Dude, he kept the lights on. No, of course he didn't win nothing. I'm just saying.
Ole enabled a toxic culture. He won nothing.
He did not create a toxic culture. He inherited a toxic culture. He didn't enable it. He just enabled the Glazers to continue doing nothing and basically paper over the cracks, and then it was all exposed when he left.
Yes.
And they'll continue to... Sir, but, like, it wasn't his fault. And He wasn't right.
I don't think
he wasn't the right
guy.
Sir, he wasn't the right guy to be the manager. That's fine. He wasn't a world-class manager like a world-class club like Manchester United deserve and require. Erik ten Hag is a world-class manager. And he's going to come in for the first time since Jose, we're going to have a world-class manager, even though Jose was in the wane. But that being said,
you're tossing around world-class a little hot. I think he's
a top-tier 10 in the world manager. Like, I think
Jurgen Klopp at Dortmund.
The top managers in the world, right, are Jurgen Klopp and Pep Guardiola.
He's on the come up, but I would say
eighth or ninth or tenth. Like, he's up there.
He's on the come up, but in order to be a Pep or a Klopp, you got to do it at United. That's the whole point.
100%, bro.
Right. You know.
But we can get to that in a minute. We can get to that when we get to the news. But, like, for me, he's probably the most reasonable choice yet in the five managers we've done since Fergie took the knee, bro. It's like, this is the first one that kind of makes sense. It's like, Moyes wasn't right. LVG wasn't right. Jose wasn't right. Ole certainly wasn't right. This guy's right if you give him the time and the money, which I'm not sure they will. But, you know, sir, maybe like some of these players who've been on the fringe, I'm not talking about like the Harrys who were never worth 80 in the first place. But like you said, even him, there's a player there. Maybe with a real manager and some time and a system, we could see a little bit better. So I'm hoping, sir, I'm trying to be honest.
How many times have we said that?
A thousand times. I say that every pod, sir.
Yeah, but I would argue that we've had Jose Mourinho, world-class manager. We didn't buy the players he wanted. And if you know Jose Mourinho, you need to buy the players he wants in order to win now, right? That would have been Perisic. That would have been a center back when he wanted it. The Glazers stiffed him. And also backing him versus the players. And then, you know, LVG, you would argue that you win the FA Cup, you probably give him another year. Just like Sir Alex won the FA Cup when we finished 11th in the league, they gave him more time. I'm not saying LVG's the guy, but you gave him $400 million. He won something, and then we fired him. David Moyes fired him too early. There's a lot of different elements of how managers were managed, and that I think the board messed up every manager we had, right? So I there is a case to be made that if the board – and we had a director of football that was in alignment with what the manager wanted to do, they could have been more successful. But unfortunately, you're fighting against the board as Manchester United manager. LVG's come out. He's talked about it. And that's what I worry about with Ten Hag. I'm not worried about Ten Hag. Like, Ten Hag goes to Chelsea, he probably wins stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Chelsea that could buy players, not the Chelsea that
are on the new Chelsea.
You know what I mean? Like a team... Like, if he goes to shitty and they have that world-class front office, like, he's winning things. I know he can do it. You see what he did at Ajax. The question is, how is the board – is the board going to do their part?
Probably not.
Is the front office going to do their part? That's always what United is. I mean, make no mistake. Ole was probably the one manager you could say shouldn't have been there. Those other three probably should have been backed and treated in different ways. You know, I really do think – To say they're all not good enough for United, I don't think that's the case. I do think the front office and the board have a lot of blame on their hands. The managers obviously could have been better, but we all knew we were cursed to run at this for a while, sir. I don't even need to go through the Norwich stats here. The only one I'm going to talk about is that Ronaldo Hattie record here. He scored his 60th hat trick of his professional a career for club and country, and 50th at the club level. Unbelievable. Cristiano Ronaldo, like you said, where would we be without him today? And Cristiano Ronaldo has now scored 20 plus goals in 16 consecutive seasons in all competitions.
Insane.
Unbelievable. And oh, by the way, Erik ten Hag wants him out of the club before he comes in. But what do we know? Let's check in with the manager. Give me Ralph's presser here.
Apparently that's bollocks, but let's see what Ralph has to say, sir.
It's the individual talent of Cristiano Ronaldo.
I don't think that we need to speak about Cristiano's performance today. Another hat-trick, quite like against Tottenham, made the difference once again. At least two of those three goals were not easy ones to score. The second and the third one, and our performance. In possession of the ball, at times we did well. Although even in the first half hour we could have made more out of our advantage in possession, the overload in the center and on the wing. At times we slowed down the game too much, even in those moments. I think we had four or five moments and situations where even the fans were shouting, shoot, shoot, shoot. We didn't. But not only didn't we shoot, we gave away the ball and invited them to two or three transitional moments before and after we scored the second goal. And yeah, this was the biggest issue for me today, our defensive, I wouldn't say shape, because I don't think it had anything to do with shape. Without Fred and without Scotty, we were fully aware that we would have to play with some players in positions that are not their best possible positions. But still, we should have defended in a smarter way. And not allow them, when you tune them up in your own stadium, to have two or three transitional moments with playing three versus two or four versus two. To be honest, we could have scored earlier than we did concede the first goal. We could have conceded a goal earlier than that. And that's why I'm not really happy with our performance when we were not in possession of the ball.
Ralph, you say that, but weren't all the players who played in your team today in the positions they normally play?
Sorry?
You just said then that you could expect some sort of defensive sort of fragility because some players were not in their normal positions, but they all were, weren't they? The midfielders were midfielders, the defenders were defenders.
Okay, I told the team that we were playing with a very offensive formation and lineup with Paul Pogba, with Bruno in midfield and with Jesse. I think this is a very offensive formation on the lineup, and that's why I told them it's very important that we play with a defensive mindset, that everybody has to think like a defensive midfielder. But as I said, after we scored the second goal, we just allowed them too much open space for the transitional moments. And if you look at the two goals that we conceded, especially the first one, we had the ball already on the sideline, but we were just not physical enough. So as soon as there was body contact, we have to be more physical, more aggressive, but we weren't, and that's why it was just, for me, too easy. I think we are probably the only team in the league who concedes goals like this. We were all behind the ball in that moment, so it was not a question of tactical discipline. It's a question of how physical do we defend in moments like this.
Sorry, I didn't mean to go long, sir, but Ralph had the demeanor of a coach that lost that game, sir. And you could say what you want about the German, what, right man for it, at the right time, probably not, put in a position that he wasn't really meant to be for in order to succeed, but like the guys called it straight. And he'd be like, you know, he basically said, he's like, no team in the league like concedes goals like we did today. Went out with a very offensive 11, told everybody to think like a defensive player. Sorry, I think he's ready to call it. Said, like, good luck, Eric. Because one thing I can say for sure is, you remember all the leaking that came out of this club and these players when Ralph came in and started asking them to run? I went full down the rabbit hole about our new man, Eric Ten Hag, and how he likes to run things, sir. It's like, you think they were whinging before? Wait till the Dutchman comes in. This guy is a nut. We need a nut. He's like a control freak who runs all the practices and absolutely like drives the shit out of his players, sir. So they're whinging now. Wait till the new man shows up, because it's going to be a reckoning.
No, and you know, like, you can tell because he's saying he wants Ronaldo out, rumored at least, and that's a big ask. Coming to the Manchester United, and like, you can kind of get the...
It's only from the Mirror, though. It's not from any legit sources yet.
No, but you know, you have an idea. You know, smoke, there's fire. You have an idea of what he's about, right? He's about young, hungry players.
Yep.
The question is, are the Borg going to back him on that? And, you know, what does the deal look like? And is he able to get rid of... Because to be honest, there's a lot of wood to chop, you know, at this club. And he's young, he's gonna be up for it, and I'm absolutely pumped about the appointment. But let's quickly look at top four here. Arsenal are in sixth with 54 points. They have 31 games played. Manchester United, 54 points, 32 games played. We're ahead of them based on that tiebreaker. Tottenham, 32 games played, 57 points. Chelsea, 62 points, but they've played 30. Scousebusters, 31 games played, 73, and Shitty, 31 games played with 74. Title race is a nail biter, like I said. We could play spoiler. That'd be unbelievable as a United fan. You celebrate that one like it was the game of the season, similar to how we did it to Shitty a few years back. You know, this top four race, we went through it. 538.com gives us 4%. I went through all the fixtures of Tottenham and Arsenal. So real quickly, I'll give you Arsenal, play Chelsea, United, obviously, West Ham, Leeds, Tottenham, Newcastle, and Everton. Chelsea, West Ham, United, and then Tottenham. Those are four pretty tough games for them. They do have that game in hand. I think that kind of evens it up a little bit. Tottenham have Brentford, Leicester, Liverpool, Arsenal, Burnley, Norwich. That seems to be the easiest run-in. I think Tottenham have it, and they also have those 3 points over us. And obviously, United, we got the Scousebusters. We have Arsenal, Brentford, Brighton, Chelsea, and Crystal Palace. For us to make top four, got to get a result. You have to beat Arsenal. You have to get something against Chelsea, which will be at home. That fixture is could be moved up depending on the FA Cup fixture. And then you have to hope that we beat Arsenal and then Arsenal beats Spurs type of thing. And then, you know, everything goes our way and then we start playing well and getting results and they just start bottling. Like, you really need Arsenal to, like, lose to Leeds or Everton.
They're bottling now.
No, I know, but, like, you look at it. So the funny thing is, like, you look at our fixtures and I'm like, yeah, we can beat Arsenal, but we couldn't barely beat Norwich, right? And that's away. So it's going to be really interesting. 4% chance. That sounds about right. Like, the table looks close right now, but as the games are laying out and as bad as we are playing, we are pretty much out of it, short of everything going our way. Like, the bottlers just, like, shipping it. And they might. And if they keep shipping it and all of a sudden we find some form, this could be like a race to the bottom where we're all bottling it. You know, like we're losing there. We lose to Brentford. They're like, we're going to lose to, you know, Leeds. It could just be like an absolute mess. Like, nobody wants it situation. We've seen that before for top four between these teams. So, look, everyone's strapping. It's going to be an interesting ride.
It certainly is, sir. In this game, it's coming up thick and fast on Tuesday in that dump called Liverpool.
Shitbox.
Shitbox is going to be a big one. I was talking about the city.
We got a next
match. I was talking about the
here.
City of Liverpool. Yeah, let alone the Anfield dump hole.
We got a next match. That's right. It's the Scousebusters versus Manchester United. This is the game you look at when the schedule's released. We used to love these games. Big rivalry here. We used to get the best of them all the time. Now I feel like we kind of want to fast forward through this one. It's at the Shitbox, a.k.a. Anfield, Tuesday, April 29th, noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Lifetime games won. We beat them 89 times, drawn 68, and lost 79. First time we ever played them, 1894, Liverpool versus Newton Heath. We lost 2-0 in a test match. Get this, coming into this game, last five against the Scousebusters, lost 3, drawn 1, and we won 1 in the FA Cup in January 2021. So it hasn't been a good time against the Scousebusters, and the last time we played them, you went in person and saw us actually get slapped around our house 5-0. That's a 5-0 where they literally could have scored more and they didn't.
They stopped trying.
Tell us about going to Bishop's Blaze. Everyone hyped for the match and you go in and it's over within the first how many minutes?
2 minutes. They scored in the 4th minute, I think. Sir, you know what? It's the first time I'd been OT since the pandemic. Got to go to a game with my brother, who's my younger brother, who's a United fan as well. So that was like our first time going to our season tickets. So the first time going to that. United fans, bro, they never disappoint. We have the best fans in the world. You know, they show a lot more pride than these sad sack players, the sad sack owners. So everything except for the performance was top draw, you know. Manchester was in good spirits. We were at the Lowry as usual. We saw the Joker players who, like, you know, they're a bunch of losers, bro. I was like, these guys suck. But that's only because we lost 5-0. But, dude, it was tough. It was tough, and it's not going to be any tougher because they're playing much better now. They're playing much better. They weren't even playing that well, like you said. Like, they never even got out of almost neutral. They just, like, ran over us down a hill. So this is going to be a really tough match. I'm not that confident at all. I think it's going to be, like, just honestly, like, containing the bleeding. Hopefully they won't lose by 7.
You look at that defending against Norwich and...
Jesus Christ.
I feel like when we played Liverpool last time, there was like another game that was like before, and Paul Scholes was like, you play like that. We played against Atalanta. We won 3-2. Game was all over the place. We ended up winning, right? And it was kind of like, and we got, that was like a huge result. And then Paul Scholes was like, you play like that against Scouse Bastards, you're going to get done. And I feel like that's the same thing, except Atalanta is probably better than Norwich. So, you know, I'm going to this one a little nervous, but hoping for the best at the back for Manchester United. You know, this is the biggest rivalry in English football, you know, because these two teams have won a lot. You know, obviously the Scouse Bastards coming to prominence, you know, earlier 60s, 70s, United, you know, more on the 90s. As Scouse Bastards were waning, United coming to prominence, now we're waning, they're coming back to prominence. You know, between these two clubs, 39 league titles, 19 FA Cups, 14 league cups, 36 community shields. Nobody's counting those. Two FIFA Club World Cups. Obviously, the big record we have on them, we got the 20 league titles. They're 19. They've won the Champions League 6 times to our 3, though. But Manchester United, we do lead them in terms of total trophies won. We have 66. They have 65. That, so like we talked about it.
That record's gone. That record's gone, bro. That record's
just
gone.
Calm down. Just calm down. Like, the two biggest records, I think, in English football are the total trophies and then the most leagues, right? So the idea with that, the Scouse Bastards are in the FA Cup final. They are still in the Champions League. They're in a title race. The idea of them tying us with 66 trophies this season is most likely going to happen. But the one that I'm holding on to as a fan is that they are not going to hit our 20 league titles. I think the biggest record probably in English football is that 20 league titles to their 19, 20 times, 20 times Man United. You know, that's right now top 4, Hans and Franz. I don't care about any of that. I just care about Scouse Bastards not winning the 20th title. I really, that for me, that's really where my hopes are still lying. And I realize that it has nothing to do with Manchester United other than this game coming up. So let's hope that we can play spoiler and prevent that 20th title.
I hope so. I don't think it's going to matter. I think it's an inevitability. They're going to get to 20 before we get to 21. We've been saying that for a while, but I would like to play spoiler. I would like to keep our top 4 hopes alive. And you know what? I also want to save face. I hate this team. I hate their players. I hate their manager. I hate their owners. And most importantly, I hate their fans. I despise their fans. So that's the big thing. I just don't want to give them more like gunpowder to make fun of us. So let's go out there and not embarrass ourselves. But I have a feeling we're going to... Dude, we just like barely beat Norwich, who are terrible. This team's not terrible, and they're playing at home. I'm worried.
We always talk about in the podcast, but the way that you track a rivalry, like a real rivalry, is how long it's been since a player's transfer between two clubs. 1964, Phil Chisnall was sold from Manchester United to Liverpool. A player hasn't gone directly from United to Liverpool since. We do not like each other. Obviously, Michael Owen did come to Manchester United in his sort of late years. But he did go to Real Madrid and Newcastle before that, so he's kind of like aging.
So that was the OG Agallo. By the way.
Yes, but it was under Sir Alex. But the one thing I will say is that I just have to sidebar the Michael Owen. Now he tries, when he's a pundit, he tries to say his like affiliations like the Scouse Bastards, but he won his only EPL title with Manchester United. Makes no sense to me.
But if you remember, that was the window where we lost Tevez and sold Ronaldo, and that was the beginning of the end. That was when, like, the dagger, like that, like, hooked dagger from the Glazers started digging in, bro. They were, like, getting murdered by bad investments in the United States, the recession, and they just took it out on our storied franchise. Fergie didn't say a thing, bro. Remember that window? Obertan, Michael Owen, and somebody else, but it at Valencia, I believe. The only good signing of the three. Sir, it's all downhill from then.
Look, a lot of history in this fixture, a lot of hate in this fixture. This is the first Manchester United game I went to, and it was unbelievable atmosphere. If you ever get to go to a game like this, it's phenomenal. Look, Klopp's playing the 4-3-3.
I went. It wasn't that, it wasn't that great. I'll tell you what. You won, right? What was the result of the game you won? When you get beat 5-0, the atmosphere wasn't as good.
2-1 Jisung Park header, but that was like prime Scouse Bastards, Rafa Benitez, Torres, Carragher, like Gary Neville ever, like the Sir Alex on the touchline. That was like prime rivalry. It was unbelievable atmosphere, 2010. So the 4-3-3, you know, there is going to be some rotation here. They did just beat best shitty in the FA Cup semifinal. Shout out to Zach Steffen giving away the game there. That's unfortunate to see the U.S. men's national team keeper make an error like that. Look, they got some good players. They're going to be organized. They're going to be quick. They're going to exploit the space. Klopp's going to have a laugh with this one.
How are we doing on injuries? They're piling up.
Varane was late fitness test. He did not make the bench today. Shaw, no return. McTominay, no return. Fred, no return. And then Cavani, obviously, you know, he's been cursed. And he's not coming back to play for Manchester United. It must be nice to get all those wages and do absolutely nothing. Given those injuries, what is your lineup?
Here we go. I got De Gea in net, AWB, Lindelof, Jones. Take a seat, Maguire. I guess tell us who's left. Matic, Pogba, Bruno, Sancho, Alanga, Ronaldo. Who you got?
There's not a lot here.
No.
Unfortunately, you know, I would like to see, you know, I'm going to go De Gea. I'm going to go Wan-Bissaka. You need the defensive presence there. Lindelof, Maguire, we're going to see it. Tellez, because Shaw's injured. Modric, just because you need somebody who can play defense out there. Pogba, Bruno, you don't have a lot of options. Sancho, Alanga, Ronaldo. It kind of picks itself. It's unfortunate. I wish we had rotated some more. I wish we got to see some youngsters, so maybe we could try to incorporate them here. This should literally be 4-4-2. This should be just pack it in, play spoiler,
three at the back,
go for
maybe?
The draw.
Yeah.
No. But this should be like two banks of four.
Right.
You know, you can even
extra
pick it
defender.
Differently. But this should literally just be.
Packet it. You don't even need to play a striker. I wouldn't even play a striker.
No, but that's a good point. You could play Lindelof at left back and do Maguire like Jones.
Right.
You know, something like that. Just say, hey, we're here to defend. And it's sad, but, you know, you got to troll them at this point. You're not gonna win the way they want to play. Booking the bookies, Scouse Bastards, big favorites here. -250 to win, +390 for the draw, +650 for United to win. I doubt it. What's your score prediction for the Scouse Bastards versus Manchester United?
4-0, Scouse Bastards. What you got?
Look, world's against us.
Come on,
everything's going against us. I'm going to go 1-1, or even a 0-0. I think a lot on Liverpool's mind right now. You know, they played a intense game against Man City, who almost got back in it. They got Champions League, they got the league, they got tight turnaround for fixtures. I think if United play that bulletin board material, that North Jersey football material, they come out with that chip on their shoulder. And they're ready to put a boot in, something we haven't seen all year long. They can scrape something here. I really do think that Liverpool's gonna be tired. There's gonna be some rotation, and we come out hungry. But I haven't seen the squad hungry. You know, I've seen like a bunch of kids. Like I imagine when I coach my son's, you know, football team, soccer team, it's going to be disorganized and I'm going to be trying to tell people to play defense. And that's exactly what you're seeing for Manchester United. So if we see that, you're going to see 4-0. But if you see a team that's like dialed up, they got that North Jersey bulletin board material, then yeah, we can scrape something here.
I'm expecting I'm going to be playing a lot of this sound from the soundboard when we get together on Tuesday night.
I wouldn't even let him on the bus after the match. I get a taxi back to Manchester.
So there's been a lot of taxis back to Manchester.
Hey, come on.
That's my guess. But I like the hope.
At a certain point, you just got to be a little neutral with this team and be like, we've taken them to the shed. We've beat them down. Like, hating this team over and over is just like, you just got to be like,
I'm just a realist. No, I was there, you know bro. Like, I saw it. I saw it in the flesh.
I know. But it's just like, at a certain point, it's just like, you got to watch it and just be like, hey, hope for something. And then they show up. Oh, okay. You know, Ten Hag. Let's talk about Ten Hag. Let's get into the news. We got some good news here. United in the news. Like I said, Manchester United reach agreement in principle with Erik ten Hag to become new manager of Manchester United. Obviously, he's still managing Ajax. Ajax has silverware to win. They're being a little cagey about the announcement. Make no mistake about it. Ten Hag looking to be the man. However this lined up, like you said, I thought Poch was coming in. Ten Hag, probably the cheaper option. Cheap and good. That's what the board likes here. Apparently, he wowed them. He wowed the Manchester United chiefs as he listed everything wrong with the club in brutal rant during his job interview. That's per Custis here. Ten Hag knows what Manchester United needs. Manchester United decide to hire him. This is good news. And now the fans need to put pressure on the board. They got to put pressure on the front office. And, you know, let's hope that he's the guy. He's our Klopp. He's the next guy coming up. He's the real deal.
Sir, I'm excited about this appointment. Long time coming. It came down to, like you said, him and Poch. I got no ill feelings towards Poch. I just didn't want him to be the next manager at United, and it came down to cost. And for once, I'm hoping that the cheap decision ends up being the right decision for Manchester United. Klopp, sir, is a talented manager, but he couldn't do it alone, buddy. And one of the things that facilitated his rise was a very astute front office that continues to make moves, bro. The left back they just bought from Fulham for £9 million would start on our team. He's very good. He's very good. So that kind of shit, it's not a one thing. It's not just like a Ten Hag. It's like we need a total front office that is in it to win it for a long, slow rebuild, because that's what's going to take. We know it. One of the things that came out with all this news was talking about Ole, bro, and how when he first came on, he was sanctioning all these sales, and then they would buy nobody to replace the sales. Because as you remember, like, sold Lukaku, sold Fellaini, and we got nobody in, and then he would just stop sanctioning sales. So I'm only doing that in reference to Erik ten Hag. It's like, if they can't get this dead wood out, if he's stuck in next season walking in with all these players that don't want to be there, bro. If Jones is around and Martial's around and like all these players who got nothing to do with United are just hanging by the hoop, it's going to be bad for business. So he is going to need a front office that is willing to take a couple losses on the chin. Get the fucking deadwood out. Bring in some of the academy lads. Make some signings. I know it's going to be a dry window. I know we've been hearing big numbers, bro. That ain't happening. That ain't happening. This team is broke. And we're most likely going to miss Champions League football, so we're double broke. And that being said, I'm still excited about Ten Hag. We got shitty owners regardless. At least give us a manager who has built clubs before, likes to take complete control over everything. He's a micromanager, sir. He not in the sense of like nitpicking everybody, but he wants to know everything that's going on and have a direct control on how things are done, dude. He does not mess about. I'm excited about this appointment because he's done it before. He's gone slow. He's not too young. He's 52 years old. He's like kind of gone through the ranks, slow and steady, under Pep, right, at Bayern when he did Bayern B team. So give him time. We got nothing but time. Ten Hag's Red Army. Let's go, baby. I'm excited about this appointment.
No, like, again, I'm excited about the manager. It just comes down to me for, you know, the Glazers have to be – you know, shout out to the 1958, shout out to the Glazer protest today, but the Glazers got to go. They absolutely got to go. Like, yeah, I think they hired a good manager, but they're going to ruin him. We ruined Rangnick, we ruined Ole, you know, we ruined LVG, we ruined Mourinho, we ruined Moyes. Moyes has done well after right? Mourinho hasn't. You know, that could just be a full meltdown, but, you know, Ole's not even managing. Tells you a lot.
Chilling.
Ole's most likable manager. That's why when I come in at him, it's hard to hear. He's the most likable manager. I like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but, like, as a manager, he covered up for the Glazers, and he was only Mr. Nice Guy for the players, and that didn't get, you know, at the end of the day, that probably made more of a mess, and this is a mess. So anyone coming in with the dynamics of the board, the actual numpties in the front office, as far as the deals we're able to do, like, think of the front office, the legacy. Paul Pogba, sign him for $89 million, leaving on a free. Harry Maguire, absolutely horrible. Jadon Sancho, 2 years to get that done. And, you know, he probably will come good, but, like, not great right now. Not worth the money. Two defenders for $35 million. We're probably better off, you know, or a defender and a CDM.
Varane, he's going to play 20 games a year, bro. That's going to be a bust of a signing, too.
Yeah, but we said on the pod when we talked about his injury record on the pod, you know, he's no Sergio Ramos when it comes to longevity. And this is a front office making decisions. You got to be looking at, like, how many games can we get out of this center back? How many center backs we have? We'll look, what's the rotation look like, et cetera. And so for me, the front office, the director of football really needs to be in charge of that. And our director of football is, like, looking at our midfield, not signing midfielders. They're looking at our center backs. They're not getting rid of Phil Jones. They're not signing center backs. They look at our left and right back and they're like, yep, this is good. And I just feel like you said, even for Ole, I feel for him because he was sell players and they wouldn't replace him. And that's going to happen at Ten Hag.
100%.
Right?
100%.
And so it's almost, you might never know. You might never know. Yes. If we had a board that cared about football instead of about the dividend, then, you know, he probably is the guy to take us forward. And I know that he looks like the guy. You look at how he plays, it's how you want to play. You look at the work rate the players have, but if they back the big money contracts and they say Rashford can't leave and Sancho can't leave and these players don't want to play and his arms are tied behind his back and they won't sign him a CDM, how is it going to look then? Because right now the players are running roost. And this whole thing needs to change. We've heard nothing from the Glazers, which is why they got to go. They got to go. Joel Glazer, I'm communicating with the fans. Richard Arnold, numpty number two over there. These guys got nothing. They're going to do the same playbook all day. They're going to lie. Deny till you die. North Jersey, deny till you die. They're going to give us that all day. And they got to go. So we got, regardless of the manager, this is a good piece of news. But the next bit of news we really got to talk about. 1958 protested today. This is big. Their plan, their vision isn't just one protest where we kick the doors down. Their vision is we got to be protesting every single game. We'll be at the Chelsea match. There's a planned protest there. Schedule of that game is going to come into play, but we will be with the 1958 singing the songs, making it known. I think we just got to get the green and gold back in the stands. We got to start boycotts, hit them in their pockets. The fact they don't come to games, they've neglected this team, they got to go. This is the real problem. So as much as we want to hype up Ten Hag, we got to get the Glazers out of the club for Ten Hag.
Right.
For this club, for the badge, for the history, for everything that Manchester United represents, Glazers out of our club.
Sir, Ten Hag is the right step, right? He's the right first step. He's an elite manager, but he can't do it alone because, like, the owners are disgraceful. They're the worst owners in football. They're some of the worst people you'll ever meet. And we don't have an elite front office. We don't have an elite director of football. We don't have an elite technical director. We don't have an elite CEO. It's like they're all bad. They're all idiots. Because John Murtaugh.
Training facility.
John Murtaugh shouldn't have the job. Darren Fletcher shouldn't have the job. Richard Arnold shouldn't have the job. And Matt Judge shouldn't have the job. And at the end of the day, Ten Hag is going to be reliant on Richard Arnold, Matt Judge, and that's it, dude. It's going to be really simple. Murtaugh is just like a yes man, too. Like he's full of shit. He goes on the fucking earnings calls and says, this club is elite. We're an elite-run football organization. It's a disgrace. This club is run by clowns, bro. And
Look at that first goal.
Doesn't matter. It's like, just look at the appointments. Look at the dividend, bro. It's like they've look at the balance sheet. They've run this club into the ground. They haven't been to a fucking game since 2019. They don't give a shit about us. By the way, they're going to sell the grounds at Old Trafford, bro. They are angling to do this. They are going to pull every fucking dollar out of this carcass of a club and then throw it on the side of the road and leave it for scrap. They made some bullshit announcement. I'm getting pissed. Sorry, sir. They made some bullshit announcement about like hiring the same architect that did the Tottenham Stadium as a first step. Dude, Modern FC, it's bullshit. But they are absolutely going to sell the grounds to Old Trafford and do a lease back just to make more money, bro. Because they have no shame. These people have no shame. They view this club as nothing other than a physical, a commercial entity in which they can extract money from over time for their own personal gain. And they don't care anything about any players, any fans. They don't care about the history. So these people are shameless. And the only way we're going to get them out is by constant pressure. And we haven't seen it since the Super League, dude. Like, until people are, like, literally spamming team viewers' reviews and saying, get out, don't deal with Manchester United. They're not going to do it because the money's too good, bro. $22 million in dividends every year. Basically tax-free. It's like they ain't leaving. They ain't leaving.
No, it's a billion pounds out. It's the interest on the debt, servicing the debt. It's the dividends. You look at how they managed the club during COVID. They kept taking the dividend. The club has $86 million in cash on the balance sheet. We're going to miss that out on top four. Like, you look at the payables on what we owe a lot of money. And that's structured. And that's from, like, Jadon Sancho structured. A lot of these deals are structured. We're still paying out these transfer fees. We have absolutely no cash. And they're announcing we're going to hire planners to plan a plan about stadium rebuild. And they talked about like revamping like one side of the stadium because they're going to do the bare minimum of what they can because they're going to sell Maui Jim Stadium. They're going to sell the commercial rights. They might sell the land. They're going to do something that like literally like carves off another hunk of meat from this great club to do the bare minimum to try to get the fans off their back. And that's what the whole thing is. We can't fall for this nonsense. Fans have to be on it. The Glazers are always the problem. They always have been the problem. Look at where we're headed. We're bleeding out. And look, we have a great manager coming in, but you have to look at why don't we have the 200, 300 million for Ten Hag to spend? Oh, that's interest and dividends over the last 3 years, 4 years. That money would help Manchester United rebuild to be a better football club. That money has gone in the Glazers' pockets. Oh, by the way, the secondary stock offerings, Avram Glazer did one over $100 million. That went right into his pocket. Didn't go to the club. That could go to the new stadium. It's not.
How many of those have they done over the last 2 years? They've done a bunch of those too, haven't they?
Dude, they take out loans against the club. It's crazy how much money they're – but the thing is, if Avram Glazer is selling his stock to get money for himself, they could sell stock and raise money for a new stadium rebuild, but they're selling stock for their own pockets. So –
that's called a secondary sale.
They're not going to put money in. They're only going to sell the land, sell the rights, just continue to whore out this great club and leave it like a dead, like a dead carcass on the side of the road, man. And that's what they're doing. That's their MO. They only work one way. You know, it's ruthless business. And that's the only way they know how to operate. So, you know, they got to get out of this club. They have to get out of this club. We got to be vigilant as fans. You and me need to do a better job educating everyone. You know, we probably need to do like a sidebar pod that we post on YouTube, talk about it. Education is a part of it, but boycotting will be a huge part of it. And, you know, shout out to 1958. We'll be there at the Chelsea match. Can't wait. This is going to be a new thing. Got to keep putting pressures on our ownership. Let's get into fan questions here. At Jamal Mota, sirs, the bottlers have fired up the bottling plants, but top four still seems far off. CR7 haters can stop now. He's the GOAT. If we got anything this season, it was keep watching this brilliance. Shout out. I totally agree. I hope Eric keeps him for next season, but either way, hashtag Glazers out. That's a good point. Are there really Cristiano Ronaldo haters? I mean, everyone's saying he doesn't work hard enough, and then you look at everyone else on the
pitch.
What
are you talking about? Like, he works. You know. He works harder than Paul Pogba, Marcus Rashford. Like, holy shit, Marcus Rashford came out of the sub, bro, and was walking around. Like,
I saw that. I was like, Mata was working harder.
You're right.
At you, Bosun quote. The only redeeming thing about this season has been watching Ronaldo score goals in the red shirt again.
That's true.
Amen. Hashtag duck the Glazers. Look, our fans know what's up about the Glazers. At Dave Paws, can't believe we won it.
We won a game.
This is what we are reduced to, celebrating like we won the league just for beating Norwich. Yes, that is what we're reduced to under the Glazers' ownership, unfortunately. In a season where you can't celebrate a lot, so this is one thing you can celebrate, and you don't even recognize Manchester United. We were an institution of just winning and success. And now we're an institution in interest payments, dividends, and overpaying prima donna players who don't want to work hard. At Red Devil Woody, quote, good 3 points, sloppy defending for their goals. Ronaldo is a beast. That free kick was something else. Need Burnley to beat West Ham, and it will be a perfect weekend results-wise. There you go. Woody still optimistic about top four. I mean, like you said it, if they keep bottling, who knows where this is going to end up. And that's why, you know, don't get your hopes up. Definitely watch it. This is going to be entertaining. I'm sure everyone's going to be running around. But what do you make of, Alex, I got a question for you. I haven't asked it. I know it kind of upsets you talking about it. Tottenham get top four. They appointed Conte after dismissing their manager. We appointed Rangnick. Rangnick has been at the helm for over 6 months. If Conte gets top four with arguably an inferior group of players in Tottenham, you would have to think he was the move versus Rangnick. And he wanted the job. Like he said, please give me the job. United said no. I would consider that a failure from the board's perspective.
Here's the thing. I could see it both ways, sir. You know, there's never just one side to a story. So, like, if your priority was getting the most out of this season, then I can see.
Yes.
Hold on a second, sir. Let me finish my statement before you interrupt me. I could see. Then, yes, he was the right man. But for me, this club has needed to be rebuilt since Fergie left in 13, bro. This has been a decade in the building, in the coming. And Conte ain't the man to rebuild, bro. He's as, like, emotional and fucking all over the place as a Mourinho. His stock's a little higher now because he hasn't done his full meltdown. And I would admit we probably get more out of this team, but this team is a bunch of baby bitches whinging about everything. They wouldn't even want to run under Ralf Rangnick, the fucking inventor of the German high press. So I want the manager that's going to be the long-term plan. Even like at the end of the day, we're still
but
fucked.
He's not, dude. Rangnick had my point.
Yeah, Rangnick is not the manager.
My point
I thought
is
about
Rangnick
Hags,
has not. No, I understand, but like Rangnick didn't get us Erik ten Hag. Ajax got us Erik ten Hag because Ajax was willing to play ball for.
But this was his preferred
million.
Choice. He recommended Erik ten Hag multiple times.
So I'm trying to. This is a critique of the board more than it is like a you and me arguing about Conte thing. It is literally a hey, Rangnick should be in the front office. Yep. So I do agree with
it
you. Rangnick
be.
Should be involved
be.
At Manchester United. So like the whole point is. We took a guy who hasn't managed a team in 10 years, who should be in our front office, and made a manager and didn't go great. And then the guy who, like, the win now guy, that's like all he does is like win now, went to Tottenham and then got top four over us. It's a pretty dumb decision from the board, no matter how you slice it. I mean, obviously, a lot to play for. That scenario might not happen, but if it does, I would consider that be like another Glazer fumble or another Woodward fumble as well, because, you know, it's not going great under Rangnick. Like you said, you're right, sir. I thought Rangnick would be the type of guy to play everyone, figure out the right team, be able to get us playing a different style. It doesn't look like that. He's playing the same favorites that Ole had. We're not working hard. We're even more disjointed. Maybe it was a fool's errand for anyone who came in, and maybe Conte would blow it up and we finish 11th. At least we wouldn't have Hans and Franz. Yeah, you know?
So I think if like you were to say, okay, obviously this, you can't make the same comp because the players and the managers are at different points in their career, of course. But like if you were to say like 2013, like do you put in a Conte or do you put in like Rangnick and then to an Erik ten Hag, or there's a team that can maybe has a winning mentality? This team is so soft and so full of losers that like I have no idea what it means to play for a badge.
That's the definition of Spurs, though. Spurs are that. Spurs.
Think our team is even worse, bro. It's like you have so many players that think they're hot shit. No, I'm. This is just my point of view. You have your own point of view. I think like
the
Pogbas,
the
Lingards, the Rat. They all think they're hot shit, and they're not. And no one gives a fuck. All they care about is winning, bro. This club.
No, I understand. It's a very true. It's like it's a very upsetting thing to talk about. But the idea is like. the guy who is an actively a manager and wins things in short periods of time would probably be the guy to do it for 6 months over like a guy who was a manager in 10 years. Like, I think that's a no-brainer if at the end of the day that Spurs end up doing
disagree.
It. Now, he can melt down. He can melt down horribly. And I do think Manchester United have better players, you know. So at the end of the day, it's a shit season. It's a shit burger. It tastes like shit. If it tastes like shit, it walks like shit, it is shit. That's where we're at, you know. True. So that's it. That's the podcast, the little fired up Conte argument. I know it's funny because we've been arguing about Conte, and like sometimes he's up, sometimes he's down. Alex is taking digs at me, but we'll see where it comes out. Let's.
I would have liked to see what happened. I mean, that being John, like, yeah. I would have like been very curious to see how this would have played. Because remember, we didn't appoint Conte because we were dragging our fucking feet, and they thought they were gonna like Ole was gonna like pull another rabbit out of his hat and turn the season around. That's why we missed out on him. Maybe they would have appointed Conte if Spurs also didn't fire their manager. But I would have been very.
They didn't appoint him. They didn't appoint him because they didn't want a guy who was like that loose cannon.
That's also right.
Who was going to come in and like say, you know, these owners suck. And he has done a little bit at Tottenham.
Yeah.
You know, dude, he's eccentric. He's a nut job. I don't like Conte, but, you know, if he gets top four with Spurs over us, like, you know, you can't.
It's a $100 million mistake, right?
Look, that's the podcast. If you like the American Devils and you like our random debates at the end of podcasts, we're for fans, by fans. Support the podcast. Join our Discord channel. The invite's pinned on Twitter. Support the pod on Patreon, www.patreon.com. Also, check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Great blog, etc. Drop a review on iTunes. Alex, give me the top 10 downloads last 7 days.
Sir, number one, how you doing? Fort Lauderdale, Florida. West Palm Beach, Florida. Guys, go give some pressure on the Glazers. They're right up the road in Tampa. Number three, Philadelphia, PA. Pittsburgh, PA. Elkton, Kentucky. The Bronx, New York. San Antonio, Texas. Carlsbad, California. Charlottesville, Virginia. And last but not least, Hayward, California. We also got Gitmo C, Republic of Korea. Appreciate all the American Red Devils listening week in, week out. We couldn't do it without you, sir. The Muppets, America Devils, we have the best fans in the world. Check out our Discord. Check out the blog. The blog is ripping. John Henry Davies article written by Keegan. Absolutely epic. 3-part series talking about like OG owner. Everything the Glazers are not is what John Henry Davies was the original builder of the club. Built Old Trafford. Built the ground on which it was built. Named it Manchester United. Check it out. It's on our website, sir. How we doing?
Invested in this club, believed in something bigger than himself. John Henry Davies, absolute legend. And if the Glazers sell the land, they'll be selling the land that John Henry Davies purchased, which will be a crime in and of itself. But hey, give me a song. Let's end this podcast. On to the Scouse Bastards.
On to the Scouse Bastards, sir. If we're going to get anything out of that game, it's going to be because of this man right here. Viva Ronaldo.
Viva Ronaldo. Viva Ronaldo. Viva Ronaldo. Viva Ronaldo.